Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Coming to you live with Kindred Spirits. I am the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first, because you know what? Hashtag you matter. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com, that's VickiDobbs, to find out more about the programs I offer. Sign up for my Friday Wisdom Whispers newsletter. You'll find a gift there for listeners, a printable journal just for all of you who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. Because I'd love to have you join our circle of support. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It is an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And on that note, I want to introduce you to my friend and guest today, Heather Ashimara. Not only a best-selling author and mentor, but land steward of the beautiful and sacred Warrior Heart Ranch in New Mexico. She's one who weaves together earth-based medicine, mindfulness, and practical strategies for creative and compassionate change. Ash is also the author of 9 books, most recently Wild, Willing, and Wise, as well as the best-selling Warrior Goddess Training Series, one of my favorite, the Warrior Heart Practice, and the 7 Secrets of Happy and Healthy Relationships. Ash lives in New Mexico, but spends most of her time traveling, teaching, and writing in cafes around the world. And you can learn more about her at heatherashamara.com. And I'm just excited to have Ash here. She has made significant changes in my life through her writing and being present in person with her in circle. And I just can't say enough. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much, Vicki. I'm so delighted to get to be here with you on Kindred Spirits.
So you're out on the road. Tell us about what's going on and this journey that you're on with your new book.
Yes, I am currently in Salt Lake City at a cafe, and I've been on a 2-month, 25-city book tour. So this is going to be, I teach tonight in Salt Lake City, and it's event number 21. So I'm on the heading home phase of the journey. It's been really remarkable to meet so many people and share the new book.
Oh, I've really enjoyed reading it. And what prompted you to write this? It's a little different in that it really is a book of action. It's not just a book of stories and information and inspiration. This is just jam-packed with action-taking.
Yeah, well, I wrote it during the pandemic, during the lockdown, and I was really curious about what we were going to need on the other side of this huge change that happened around the world. And what I felt was we were going to need something really simple to get ourselves back in our own boats and rowing down the river again of life, and that we were also going to need simple, clear action steps and a sense of humor. So I really tried to work that into the book, that it's a light book. There's a lot of laughter in it. There's a lot of me poking fun at myself and just us humans and our craziness of what we can do towards ourselves and towards others. And there's a lot of joy in it. But there's also, like, grab onto this, do this, because I really had this sense that it's incredibly helpful for us when we're in challenging times to have direct guidance that we can then cater and bring into ourselves in a way that works for us.
Absolutely. I think it says it best when you say that, you know, this is an interactive guide for when to paddle, when to rest, and when to jump naked into the river of life. And I think the little giggle I get every time I read that sentence really addresses the humor in the way that you write so real. You don't write in always proper English. This book is just fun. It's fun to read. It's inspiring. I just really love the insight and the empowering practices that you've added in. So introduce us to these three amazing new energy guides that you're bringing out into the world.
Absolutely. And I started studying these three archetypes, Maiden, Mother, Crone, many, many years ago. Many of us are familiar with them. And as I started looking at these energies again, I recognized I wanted to create something that was non-gendered, non-linear, and that fit with these times. I wanted to modernize, basically, those three archetypes of Maiden, Mother, Crone. So the energies that we work with are inspired by those energies, but I feel like going a lot deeper and allow us to come into a circle relationship with them, that we need all of them at different times. They're not, we do one, then we do the next, then we do the third. So wild energy is our curiosity. It's our sense of play. It's our joy. It's a part of us that's like, let's have an adventure. Let's try new things. Let's be messy. We're exploratory, and there's this sense of joy when we're connected to our wild, or what I say is when we're balanced with our wild. And then that willing energy is about growing something, that there's always a time in our life where we want to nurture something, whether that's a child, whether that's a relationship that's important to us, might even be our own spiritual path or an art project, and that tending something, we want to be sustainable. So when we're balanced with our willing, we're courageous, we're able to take hard actions and make hard choices, and we also are willing to rest as we need to rest. We're willing to paddle when it's time to paddle. There's this listening to what's needed in relationship, and that also includes our relationship with ourself, which I know that you teach so much about. And then the wise energy, our third archetype, is about connecting to our stillness, to our calm, to our deep patience, and also seeing the biggest picture possible in our lives. So there's a settling in that we do when we're connected to our wise, and we're acting and listening from our intuition, from our connection to our ancestors, and understanding that we are a part of this much larger river of honoring the ones that came before us and the ones that will come after us. So those are the three archetypes, the three energies, wild, willing, wise, when they're balanced. That's how they show up in our lives, and that's how they can support us.
It's a fascinating metaphor for the archetypes that you talk about, and honestly, reading through this, I hadn't picked up on that, but as soon as you mentioned it, it was like, boom, I can feel the wild energy from the maiden, that willing energy from the mother, and the wise energy with the crone, and it just kind of twists that thought in my brain. And I had not thought about those particular energies as guides in life. And that's one of the things I really enjoyed about your book, is how you've introduced us to and helped us not only meet, but greet and understand these energies, these wild, willing, and wise guides as unique perspectives that we can ourselves embody and work with, not just recognize as being a part of, that they're almost like brand new allies, helping spirits that have come to join us in floating down this river of life.
Exactly. And we need all three of them at different times. Sometimes we need that, like, just jump in the river, like, take a risk, do it, it's going to be fun. And it might be messy, and that's okay. And then we also need the steadiness of that willing, like, keep paddling, keep going, it's okay. And the wise voice of, this is part of a larger journey, it's okay, be patient, let it unfold. And it's fun because we can find these three energies inside of us, and that's part of what I really work with the book, is helping people to sense these energies and embody them, and also to look at where are they out of balance. Where are we in deficiency of wild? Where are we in excess? That each of them has a place that we can go out of balance. And as we witness ourselves and start to name where we might be out of balance, in deficiency or in excess of these three energies, that we then know how to support ourselves, and also how to get outside support. Because the thing I love about the archetypes is we have them in our being, and we can also look outside of ourselves and say, okay, if I need more wild energy, where can I call that in? Who in my life has wild energy that I'm looking for? Or what would help me to connect with a balanced willing if we're out of balance there? So we can do both the internal work, but also gather support from the people and the landscape and the beings around us as well.
Yeah, I know that Lynn Andrews used to talk about the energies and working in circular fashions with this sort of thing. And when you're talking about these particular energies, you so very specifically within your circles, and I love that you work in circles all the time, drawing these great big circles on those papers and writing across them. And in the book, you give us such beautiful visuals of, here's within the circle, this is what wild is, balanced, all these beautiful words. And then to the left and the right of those, there's excess and there's not enough. And I think the way that you've laid it out in such simple pictorial format, using the words around balance, we can begin to see how, especially when you tell us to pick a word. That was kind of tricky for me sometimes, because it's, well, I want to pick all the words in the middle, because I get along with all of those. Those are kind of cool, and I can resonate with those. And then there's these words over here that are, you know, I don't have enough, or I'm too much. And it starts to really bring up those feelings of, I'm always being told I'm too much, or I'm always being told I need more. And so I'm not sure I want to pick one of these words, but it was an exercise for me to really push through that barrier that I often face, that rock in the middle of my river that I bounce up against and get stuck trying to figure out a way around, in that it's okay. And again, in reading through your book, you give us permission constantly to be okay with whatever comes up for us, whether it's being stuck in a flow, drowning in an eddy, holes in my kayak, or too much I'm carrying onto the trip. And I think that's something that for me made it very unique and very relatable in reading through this. And so, you know, let's just pick one and talk about, you know, the plus and the minuses that keep us, when you recognize them, come back into balance.
Yeah, thanks, Vicki. I love the place of you sharing that sometimes the exercises were challenging, or they're invitations to go deeper. And one of the things that I love so much about this book is that it is really open-hearted. Like, I wrote it as an invitation for us to get to know ourselves better, but that there's no, like, you must do it this way. There's, like, here's a choice, here's another choice, how about this one? So that it does feel like play and exploration. And So here's a great example. So wild energy. When we're balanced and wild, there's a sense of joy and playfulness and adventure that we're holding in our being. And when we have deficiency, so when that energy's turned down, deficiency of wild is we become tentative, we become feeble, we are holding ourselves back, we're wanting to keep ourselves safe. And there's a feeling sense of like, I'm going to pull my kayak out of this river of life and I'm going to hide by the shore because it's too dangerous or scary or I keep doing it wrong. So that's an excess. And I've talked to a lot of people on the tour that have found that they've turned down their wild because they had an idea like, I'm an adult. I'm supposed to now be responsible for everyone. And have gone over willing. And so often the remedy is to turn up the wild, to find that playfulness and joy in our being again. So that's excess wild where we're collapsing our wild. And then excess wild is when there's a sense of like not worried about consequences. We don't care what the impact of our actions is. We can be unfiltered and not reliable. We can be very scattered when we have excess wild. And it looks like it's really fun, but it's really immature. There's a recklessness that happens when we're in excess wild. And so for some of us, we actually need to turn our wild down, not squash it, but just like temper it and learn how to be more in right relationship with the wild so that we're adventurous but not reckless. And the image I use in the book is that when you're excess wild, you're like jumping into the river without a paddle or even without a life vest. You're just like, let's just do this. But it's not helpful. It doesn't help you in the long run at all. So finding that balance, and I like to think that with each of the qualities, we want to embrace all of it. We want to embrace the excess and the deficient and the middle. And it's like, it's not that balance is good and excess is bad or deficiency is bad. They're all just qualities. And sometimes we need more wild, or sometimes we need less wild. And so if we can embrace all of them and be able to name, yep, sometimes I go deficient, sometimes I go excess, there's a deep healing that happens in our body and a joy that we have in then gently course-correcting ourselves on the river of life.
That's awesome. And you know, just to take it on and keep going with that, talk to us about that excess deficiency and balance within willing.
Absolutely. So balanced willing is steady, courageous, generative. There's a feed, like you're feeding and nurturing something that you want to grow, but it's also feeding you at the same time. That's balance. And deficiency, that we can get resistant, we can procrastinate, we can not feel good enough, not feel like we have the capacity to take action. And we can also start looking at other people's lives and comparing ourselves to others when we don't have enough willingness. And then excess willingness, we go overboard where we try to take care of everybody else, where we are trying to row everybody else's boats, where we feel responsible for everyone in the river, codependency, pleasing. And what ends up happening when we're over-willing is we burn out and we get frustrated and resentful. So that's the new awareness of how do I balance my willing so that I'm sustainable and generative rather than burnt out or rather than holding myself back all the time.
Aha. That's a fine line to walk, especially when you are of an age where in today's world, so much is expected often of, especially women, in that place of willing, that place of nurturing, that place of being there for everything and everybody else in our lives at the expense often of ourselves.
Exactly. There's a real preponderance, I would say, of women, especially that are in overwilling, that think that they're balanced or know that something's wrong but don't know how to come back into balance. I mean, I think
right.
We've been domesticated as women that overwilling is the way to be, and there's a lot of gentle healing that needs to happen in that area for sure.
And We have to take a break here in a few minutes, and I want to come back and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly around the wise, and maybe talk about how you incorporate these words as actual energy, as actual guides that can take us or go with us as we navigate this river of life. And so hang in there, gang. This is Vicki Dobbs with Heather Ashimera, and we will be back in just a few.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Back, everybody. I'm your host, Vicki Dobbs, and I'm here with the amazing Heather Ashimera talking about her new book, Wild, Willing, and Wise. And I think we left off with talking about finding that balance and recognizing when we're deficient or in overload, so to speak, with our wise. So throwing the ball back at you, Ash, and talk to us about wise.
Yay, thanks, Vicki. So the wise energy, when it's balanced, is there's a compassion that we have. I think when willing is balanced, we're courageous in the face of change. And when we're connected to our wise, we're compassionate. There's a deep sense of patience. We have a calmness. We're connected to our stillness. And we have faith. So balanced wise is this sense of, I got this. I'm held. I'm loved by forces larger than myself. I'm connected to the divine. When we're out of balance with wise, we can go out of balance by having a deficiency of wise when we outsource our wise, when we say everybody else is wise but me. Or when we get dogmatic, when we're like, this is the one way, where we start to get narrow and frozen in our relationship with information, and we start to think this is what the truth is, and it's a very narrow slice. And then on the other side, when we have an abundance of wise, when we have an excess, and I don't want to say abundance, it's not quite the right word, excess, we're overly wise, then what actually happens is we can get disconnected and start to disassociate and think that that's spiritual. So you may have heard this term, spiritual bypass, where we're like, oh, those messy human emotions, I don't want to deal with those. I just want to be connected to spirit. And there's a place where we then bypass being human and try to make everything fine. If I just think good thoughts, everything will be fine. So that's that disconnection of excess wives. And we can also start to get what I call spiritually smug, where we think we know everything, but what happens is we're actually living in the past. So when we are in the place of like, oh, I've already done that, I know what that is, I've already been there, we're actually not in the present anymore. We're living in the past at what we've already learned. And overly wise causes us to not be able to be open to new possibilities. And we think we've already done it. So we want to come back into balanced wise by either turning down and landing in our human selves connected to the divine, or turning up our wise by owning the wisdom that we have, by taking more time to connect with our stillness, to connect with spirit. And that there's also what happens when we connect with that wise energy is, like I said, compassion. But there's also this jovial nature. You know, when I'm around people that I consider wise, they always have this lightheartedness about them that they don't take themselves very seriously. And there's that joy that connects us back to wild again.
I love that, thinking of some of the teachers that I've listened to, and not only do you always bring that aspect of humor into your stories by just talking about yourself and your experiences, but Don McGill has that, you know, that underlying humor that just kind of floods the room so softly and embracing. And Michael Harner had that. He would giggle at himself and make the whole room laugh. And so it's interesting when you talk about wise, when you're in balance, having that, you know, jovial and don't take himself serious, but it's a happy place.
Yes, exactly. It's so true. And there's this kind of delight of being around somebody that's digested their experiences and is connected to that universal wisdom, that there's that joy, like you said. And there's another way that I think of these, Vicki, that I've been teaching. There's a fun thing about being on book tour and teaching something over and over and over again is people respond to things and share what their experience is, and the book, it comes alive. And I learn new things, and I think all of us learn new things as we kind of go deeper into exploring a book, because I believe all books are alive, and they go out and do their thing and meet people and transform. And so one of the things that we've been playing with is that the wild energy is a spark. It's that initiatory spark of yes. And that spark is our passion and our creativity. And then the willing energy is our fire. And when you, in relationship with a fire, when you're building a fire, it takes something in the beginning where you feed it a lot. You need kindling, you need oxygen. Like, there's a lot of energy in the beginning of creating a fire. But then over time, the relationship changes and what the fire needs change. And so there's a point where you're putting on larger wood and then resting and letting the fire warm you. So that's the right relationship for willing in relationship to a fire. It's always changing. And then wise, I love this. So wise is the coal. So when we digest our experiences and we've landed in our wise, there's a sense you feel in people that there's a glow. They have this glow and this magnetism. And that glow is the condensed energy of their own life experience. And that coal is warming and extends through and beyond people's bodies. So I like to think that the wise energy is that coal that lasts long, that is condensed magic, and that also can be kindled back to fire at any time. Another way of looking at those three archetypes and three energies in our life. We need all of them.
Yeah, it's I'm just taking it all in as you're talking about it. And you know, kind of one of the first things you lay out in the book is like these, oh, seven steps to riding the river of life. And the first one is kind of like, you know, if you get hung up in one of the others, it's go back to number one, which is the only way is through. And so How about we talk about riding the river of life?
Yeah, great question. The metaphor throughout the book, the underlying metaphor is the river of life. And I came up with that. The reason I started with that as a metaphor is that in the middle of the pandemic, I had this flash of this experience I'd had on the Grand Canyon where I got thrown out of a boat on the Colorado River. And it was really unexpected. It was over a very small rapid. And as I was feeling into, like, what I was feeling in my life at the time, I was like, it feels like we all just got thrown out of the boat, and we're not quite sure how to navigate this river. So the metaphor of the river is such a helpful one for us to use in relationship with our own lives, because we can get curious about, where am I in relationship with the river? Have I pulled my boat out of the river, and I'm refusing to get in because I'm scared? Upstream all the time. Do I feel like I am coasting and just kind of getting beat up through the rapids? And so one of the main lessons that I learned from the river is the only way out is through. And that's true with life. Like, even if we pull our boat out of the water and, like, wait, if we're going to go through life fully and really live our lives, we have to be willing to go through both the calm places and the rough rapids. And to remember
right.
The only way out is through is so delightful. Like, okay, I'm in.
All right, we're in. And we have to take another little quick break here, so I will be back shortly, and we will talk about riding this river of life with Heather Ashimara. And hang in there with us. We'll be right back.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Dobbs, and I'm here with Heather Ashimara talking about riding the river of life in her new book, Wild, Willing, and Wise. So, lesson number one, the only way out is through. And I love this second one. Being an expert is helpful, but it doesn't mean you won't capsize.
Yes, and all of these lessons came from a very direct experience I had on the Colorado River. And I was with two experts. And so in the beginning, I was like, I'm safe. Like, there's people that are going to row, and I don't have to worry about it. And then we got flipped by a very tiny wave. And I recognized, I was like, oh, right. Life is really unpredictable. And it doesn't matter how much information, expertise, how many times you've done something, there's still surprises. There's still places that we get thrown out of our own boat. And so it's just a good reminder for me. It was a good reminder of that I may have expertise in particular areas, but that doesn't mean that I'm great at it everywhere, and that's okay. You know, I had an experience many years ago when I was teaching. I had a center in Berkeley, and I'm a really good teacher and facilitator, and I love talking to people. But I recognized that in my personal relationships, I had never really learned how to communicate in intimate relationships. And I recognized, like, oh, right, I have a PhD in public speaking, basically, but I'm in first grade around communication and with, like, in intimate relationships. And so instead of getting upset with myself or being like, you should be an expert in all areas, I was like, I just need to learn this skill. And it's a good reminder for all of us that we may have PhDs in particular areas of our life and be really skilled. And in other areas, we need more training or more skill building or more learning, and that we don't need to judge ourselves or make ourselves wrong. We can't be experts everywhere. And even if we are experts, we're still going to run across new things if we're fully living our lives.
And depending on an expert doesn't guarantee your boat won't capsize.
Exactly.
I think that that one, you know, there's a lot of people who pick somebody in their life to be the one who knows all. And we put them on a pedestal, and we think that whatever they tell us we should do, be, like, say, think, is the right way, because look at them. From all intents and purposes, it appears they've got it made. They know. They can handle it. And then the boat flips.
Yeah.
And you're in for a swim. So, coming up next here, you say, take it slow. Look where you're going. Make a plan and scout. This was a really interesting one for me because I tend to be one of those who is a bit of on the wild side when it comes to new things, and I kind of jump in and then I look around to see what's going on. And so, you know, really, I never thought about pulling your raft aside, getting out, climbing up the side of the mountain and looking at what's ahead before continuing the journey.
Yeah, this is a really helpful one, too. I'm the same way. I'm very like, let's just do it and see what happens. We'll figure it out later. And I'm learning how important and how powerful it is to actually stop and get to perspective. To, you know, when you're on a river and there's a big rapid coming up, even though the rapid's been mapped, I mean, you literally have a map of all the rapids and where to go, but things change in the river. And so what you do is you pull your boat out and climb up to get an eagle eye view of the rapid and then plot your trajectory, like what would be the best way for us to do this. And everybody talks about it. And I found that so incredibly helpful in my life that there's times when I'm not sure what to do next. And instead of just going, let's just try this, I'm actually like, I'm leaning more into my whys. Like, let me take a perspective of where am I on my journey in the river? Who am I with? And what are we about to navigate? So that, like with my team, with my business, or with my community when we're making some changes, that I'm more thoughtful about looking at where we're going and talking and getting different perspectives. And I found then it's easier to chart the way forward. It feels slower. It feels like sometimes restrictive, but it actually, I make better decisions and I don't make as many mistakes. It's a lot easier to find my way through. So I've really appreciated that about getting more wise, connecting more with the wise.
Yeah. And then once you put your raft back into the river, you've got this plan, you've seen what's ahead, you know where you think you're going, and then the big key is surrender to the flow.
Yeah, that there's a way that we get to, I like to think of this as that we want to get more skillful. Like people that are really skillful on the river of life, they know where to put in effort and where to stop putting effort in. And that life moves and that we can actually rest and let life take us. that there's a place that surrender is incredibly powerful. And instead of paddling constantly through a challenging time, that we're really listening. And we learn as we go along that, you know, I want to paddle really strongly, two strokes on the left and then one slow paddle on the right, and then I'm in the right spot and the river's going to take me. And we can actually learn that in relationship with life too, and that's a function of willing, that in the beginning of growing something, you need to put energy into it. There's a lot of actions that need, like if you're growing a business. But then at a certain point, you actually need to surrender to the process and let it go deeper. And that place of listening for how do I rest into the flow that's already happening is what projects, you know, sends us forward much more quickly. It's such a beautiful shamanic slow down and listen to the energy rather than trying to think our way through everything.
For sure. It's that's probably my favorite place to be in the water is that slow flow. Part of that is being on the deficient side of that energy, in that, you know, just once I'd like somebody else to row the boat for me. So I kind of like that slow flow before we hit the next rapid. But, you know, that brings you to the point where when you talk about either taking over or giving your power over to others, is that we're all in this same boat together.
We really are. And I was so blessed. I've had such great mentors in my life. And one of my first mentors, Karajan Fallingstar, she said to our group in the very beginning, she said, I'm like a river guide. Like, I've been down this river a couple times before, and I can teach you where to paddle and where to rest. And things change. And that was I was like, oh, right. I'm responsible for being on the river. And I'm responsible for learning more skills and finding people that can teach me where do I rest, where do I paddle. It's helpful and really valuable in our lives. And we're going to keep looking for those people. I think that, you know, sometimes we get this idea of like, well, once I know how to be on the river, I should just know exactly how to do everything. But things change, and we need to keep building skills and finding people that have been on whatever river we're on, that they can share their expertise, and that we then find what works for us and continue to build skills throughout our life. And I think a big one for a lot of us is, how do we surrender? How do we let go and do it in a graceful way?
Yes, and just to reiterate on that, it's the constant learning. It's like we never outgrow the, I don't know that it's a need, but that the value of constant learning, whether it's from a book, whether it's from a virtual class, whether it's just listening to the grandkids and picking up on the wisdom that, you know, as Art Linkletter said, kids say the darndest things. Sometimes they're the wisest. And being in that willingness to be a part of it all, as opposed to trying to pull yourself out on the shore all by yourself.
Yes, I love that.
You said. Well, in that, we have to again take another break. Time is flying faster than a flittering wing on the owl next door. So I'm just going to say, hang in there, gang. We will be right back in a few minutes with Heather Ashimara as we wrap up talking about wild, willing, and wise.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickyDobbs.com. That's VickyDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art, and creativity so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. Again, this is your host, Vicki Dobbs, and I'm here with the amazing Heather Ashimara. And we're talking about riding the river of life. And I love this last little piece here about don't jump out of the boat when the going gets tough.
I have such a great story with that, Vicki, because that came from an experience I had where we were going through the biggest rapid on the Colorado River, and there was just a point, and these are literally 16-foot waves, 17-foot waves, and there was a point where I thought, we're going over, I have to get out of this boat, and I started jumping, literally jumping out of the boat, and my father-in-law at the time grabbed my ankle and pulled me back in the boat and said, keep rowing. And we got through. We didn't capsize at all. It was a really incredible experience. And I just got in my body, like, how often I would be in an experience that I was scared, or I was confused, or I didn't know how to do it. And I wanted to just bail. I wanted to just jump out. And there's something that happens when we are in out of balance with either of any of the energies, with wild or willing or wise, where we can go excess and then straight into deficiency, and then excess deficiency. I call it the windshield wiper, where we basically jump out. We're like, I don't know how to do this. And then we, you know, like we go to the other extreme. And I recently had an experience with this of my community magic maker, Serena, who's my right-hand person, called me one day and said, Heather Ash, I need you to decide, are you in the boat or are you out of the boat? Because I keep pulling you back in, and I just need you to decide. And it was such a beautiful moment because we had a metaphor we'd been working with for a while where they could say one small thing and I could understand what she was talking about. Because we were in a really hard place in our business, and I was like, I'm done with this. You all just take over. And my team's like, you can't just jump out of the boat. You have to paddle with us, but we can change how the paddling is happening. It was such a great lesson for me around staying in when it gets hard, staying in and having the hard conversation, staying in and being with our emotional content, staying in to get to the other side so something new can emerge. And I really feel, Vicki, that we're in a time like that right now where there's so much breaking down. We're in a big paradigm shift. And part of that shift is, as I see it, is we're shifting from being conditional with ourselves and others to learning what it means to be unconditional. So we're in a really punishment-reward domestication of how we teach ourselves and how we often have learned and is that there's a right and a wrong, and in order to make people behave better, you punish them. And we do this to ourselves all the time. We judge ourselves constantly. We're critical towards ourselves. we feel victimized in situations. And that's all part of this punishment-reward model that's very conditional. You know, and you can think about it, the times that we say, I'll love myself if, or I'll be happy when. And there's these conditions that we hold ourselves back from being ourselves fully, from enjoying our lives, from connecting to our wisdom and owning it. And so shifting from this conditional way of perceiving the world and being in relationship to ourselves and others to being more unconditional, unconditional living, this is a way of being in relationship to the river of life and our own life, is really about, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be present. I'm going to learn how to love more deeply. And that there's consequences. But we don't have to punish somebody. So I want to share one quick story as we start to close of my beautiful goddaughter who is living with me. And she went through a big end of a relationship. And then I invited her to move into my house so she could find her way. Like, it was a, let's pull you out of the river for a minute so you can catch your breath and get back in a new way. And she is excess wild. She's in her 20s. Of course she's in excess wild. That's kind of the time to be in excess wild. And so we're lovingly working with each other to help her find her balanced wild. And I'm teaching her how to do that in an unconditional way. So the story is I came home from traveling one day and there was no coffee in the house. Everything had been rearranged in my house. There was no happen. There's no drinking water. And I was like, ah! And the next day, I said to her, I sat her down and I was like, sweetheart, when I left, was there coffee in the house? And she was like, yes, there was coffee. And I was like, and was there half in the fridge? And she said, uh-huh, and there's half and half. And I was like, and love, was there drinking water? She's like, yes. And she goes, oh, you want me to adult, don't you? And I was like, yes, my love. Yes, my love, I want you to adult. Like, we're going to adult together. And I didn't need to punish her. I didn't need to make her wrong. So there's this unconditional way of there's consequences. I've set the consequences with her. Like, this is what I need when I come home. And because of that, learning how to be more unconditional, there's this joy of leading myself and leading others in a way that is based in respect and love, and then clear boundaries and consequences. And so that's something I'm just incredibly passionate about right now, is how do we be in relationship with the river of life, both the calm places where we can rest and we can resource ourselves and we can enjoy the view, and also the challenging places where we're scared and where we're not sure if we're going to get through, in a way that we're not punishing ourselves or feeling victimized by what's happening, but that we're lovingly guiding ourselves and leaning into those three guides of wild, willing, and wise to help us be more unconditionally respectful and loving and honoring of the power that we have, that power is innate inside of us. And when we learn to lead ourselves from that place of deep love and respect, we can all, that also then spills into the world. We become more little coals that are feeding and nourishing those around us without effort. It just happens naturally.
So you have a free webinar series coming up in a few days that is about this unconditional leadership that you're talking about.
I do. I'm so excited about it. So there's four different choices of unconditional leadership webinar, or what I call the Warrior Goddess Way. And so there's lots of choices of how people want to play in time zones. So that's available. The information for that's on our website, warriorgoddess.com. So that's a fun way for people to plug in if you're interested in learning more about unconditional leadership.
Oh, I love that what you wrote about it, in that it is rooted in compassion, fueled by authenticity, and sustained by inner wisdom. And that's just beautiful in the way that you've written that, a kind of leadership that doesn't drain you but fills you up.
Yes. More of that is needed in the world. We have plenty of burnt out, over-willing leaders, or people that are holding back their leadership because they don't feel like they're worthy. And I'm really passionate that it's important for all of us to step into that authentic leadership from us.
Well, check out the webinar at warriorgoddess.com. And Heather Ash, I can't thank you enough for this wonderful conversation this morning. I'm so grateful you said yes. And I'm looking forward to sitting in circle with you again at some point in the time. And from my heart to yours, thank you and much love. Again, check out Ash's website, thewarriorgoddess.com, or heatherashamara.com. You'll find a plethora of wisdom and knowledge there, and her books are such a joy to read through. Anything but dry. Take a giggle rag with you because sometimes the laughter will bring you to tears. And check out my website at VickiDobbs.com and be sure to get your copy of Heather Ash's book, Wild, Willing, and Wise, anywhere good books are sold. This is Vicki Dobbs reminding you to put you at the top of your priority list. Give yourself permission to be first in your world. Stay in the boat when the going gets tough and put you on your calendar first. Choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down the river of life. And until we meet again, namaste, my friends. This is Vicki Dobbs. Have a safe and happy journey.